got problems, problems, problems. And I was almost going to teach or preach. It's my daughter's Bible. Hang on just a second. Yeah, there's a problem right there. I'll deal with that one later. Okay. I'm almost going to bring a lesson, a message this morning on the problems that we face and how it is that we can face all these problems that we have while we're living in this world today. The Lord changed that this morning when I got up, told Pastor Dave, I just love it when that happens at 5 o'clock in the morning, and changed the message that I was ready to do. But Lord knows what He's doing a whole lot better than what I know. Amen? And it's just good to be here this morning. I'm excited about being in the house of the Lord. I hope you're excited. There's a lot of things to get excited about in this world. You know, Pastor Dave was talking about our soldiers, our sailors, our airmen, and our Marines. And boy, I get excited when I'm at parades and I see the old guard come down Main Street, right? You've got the VFW folks, and I mean the old guard. And man, they look sharp, though, don't they? They get some of them, I know their uniforms don't quite fit the way that they used to, amen? But I tell you, it's good to see him, and I get excited about that. But man, how much more exciting when you saw Brother Roy Thompson standing up here, the old guard, soldiers for Jesus Christ standing up here. Those are folks that need to be lifted high just as well. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Galatians. I guess we really got to get moving here. Book of Galatians chapter 2, and we're going to read one verse that everybody should be very familiar with. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Sing up a little bit higher as I keep bumping it. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your Son that gave himself for me. Lord, I can't even imagine that while I was yet a sinner, that Christ died for me, and I thank you for that. I just pray your blessing now upon this time that we have in your word. Lord, speak to us. Put me out of the way. Move me aside, and just let your Holy Spirit have free course this morning, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, we read that verse, and like I said, most of you probably familiar with that verse, and many of you probably have it memorized, but isn't it a shame how many verses that we have locked up here in our heads that never really get down to the heart and do the work that the Holy Spirit wants His Word to do. All right? The Word of God is quick and powerful, is sharper than any two-edged sword, the Bible says, piercing, dividing asunder of soul and spirit. It's supposed to do a work in our hearts. You see that in Thessalonica, the reason why they were the church, the reason why the Word of the Lord sounded out from them was because the Word of God worked in them effectually the way that it ought. So many times, though, we have verses dedicated to memory, and they're not doing what the Holy Spirit, what the Lord wants them to do in our lives. What we want to look at this morning is this verse, and what we want to look at, though, is a practical application. See, there are many positional truths that the Word of God gives to us. All right, what I mean by that is this is a truth. He says in verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Okay, it's not you will be crucified. It's not you should be crucified. I am, Paul said, crucified with Christ. But you know what? There is more of a daily application, a living application to that verse. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about so we can make sure we understand where I'm going with this. All right, turn back to the book of Romans. I said, oh yeah, Brother Mike makes me flip all over my Bible. I tried to limit that a little bit just so you weren't getting dizzy. But Romans chapter 5 and verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Okay, we know that positionally we are righteous when we accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We are declared righteous. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, for he hath made him sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, right? Not become, as a lot of other versions, perversions like to say, but we are made the righteousness of God in him. We're declared righteous. But now turn over to the book of Titus, chapter 2. All right, we're already declared righteous, but let me ask you a question. Do you live righteously every day? No. Titus chapter 2, otherwise we wouldn't need this verse, right? Titus chapter 2 and verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. You see, there's a daily application, even though positionally, when God the Father looks down on us, sees the blood of Jesus Christ, we are declared righteous already because we are saved, but we need to live righteously. We need to grab a hold of that and each and every day purpose in our lives to live righteously. Well, just like we have the positional truth and we have a daily practice that needs to take place, with our text back in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, I think we have the same thing. You see, we are crucified with Christ. That has taken place. But there's more to it than just that. We have to live that life every single day, and that's what I want to talk about this morning. Turn over to the book of Romans now in chapter 6. How is it that we are going to, what does it mean to live a crucified life? What is it that we're crucifying? And how are we going to live that life is what we want to talk about this morning. Romans chapter 6 and beginning in verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Pay attention to these words. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. Did you get that? Our old man is crucified with him. But we still have a problem with the old man, don't we? Yes. Our old man is crucified with him that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, which we are if we are saved, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. And boy, that could be a message all in itself. Praise the Lord that he rose again, because guess what? It's his new life that gives us new life. All right, it didn't just stop when Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. Nay, much more when he rose again from the dead, it's because of that that we can have newness of life. But the Bible tells us here in verse 6, the old man is crucified with him. But there's still that daily process of crucifying the flesh. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, we read that verse, talks about how I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. We do live day to day. And we have problems from day to day. And we have to deal with the flesh that we live in from day to day, which requires more crucifixion. More crucifixion and more crucifixion. But how are we going to do that? Look down at verse 11. Because we are crucified in Christ, there's something we need to do first and foremost. The Bible says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. The body is crucified in Christ. That, hey, our course is set. That we're not getting out of that. No matter what we do today, tomorrow, the next day, we're not getting out of the course that's set. That body is crucified one day. This flesh is going away. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, I had 10 hours sitting there. When I was 16 years old, I could have sat there for 10 hours with no problem. But 15 minutes and I start aching. In places that I didn't ache before when I was, you know, the last time I sat around that long hunting. We got problems in this body, but someday we're going to get rid of it. But listen, we've got to start reckoning, and that's not, you know, when you talk to your kids and you say, hey, isn't this the right thing to do? Oh, I reckon so. That's not that kind of reckon. Okay, it's not I guess so. To reckon means to declare it to be so. We need to declare ourselves dead to sin. All right, now turn over to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 24. Let's talk a little bit more now. What is it that we're crucifying, and how are we going to crucify it? All right, Galatians chapter 5. We started in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I'm still doing a lot of banging here. Galatians chapter 5, and look at verse 24. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh, right? the flesh that we live in. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Say, Brother Mike, why is it that we have to crucify the flesh? Well, I'll tell you, because there's no good thing in the flesh. It's got to be put to death, or else we'll never, ever be able to please the Lord as long as we live on this earth. Romans chapter 7, verse 18 says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me." And this is Paul, this is the Apostle Paul talking. "For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not, because of the flesh." In the flesh, we can't please God. Romans 8:8 says, "So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God." Why do we need to crucify the flesh? Because there's nothing good in it. Right? Go over to the book of, well, we're in the book of Galatians. If you look back here, look over in verse 17 of chapter 5. "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." Look, this is a church. We've got good people in this church, and I know that you want to do the right things, but I know that you're like me and you struggle to do the right things because of the war that goes on between the spirit and the flesh. And that's why the scriptures tell us we've got to crucify the flesh. Not only are we crucifying the flesh, but we're crucifying some things that go along with that. Look back in verse 24 again. "They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections." The things that we love, the things that we truly desire, that are important to us. Well, guess what? The affections of the flesh are not the affections of God. You know, that word affection or affections is listed 7 times in the New Testament. 5 of those times are very negative in their context. Things like inordinate affection, without natural affection. We're talking despicable affections, and these are things that relate to the affection of the flesh. But in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2, the Bible says, "Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth." We get wrapped up so much in the things of the earth. I would challenge you, challenge myself, and you'll probably be disgusted. I'm going to kick this thing off here in a minute. Probably be disgusted if you looked back this week and took account of your time. That is a scary thing if you actually take, you know, we do budgets, right? You try to sit down and say, okay, where's all my money going so that I know I'm doing the right thing with my money? What about your time? Yes. Bible says, redeem the time, right? Take account of your time and see just exactly where your affection is. Because where your affection is where you're going to put your time. Amen. So is your affection on things of this flesh? Or is your affection on things of this world? Or are you setting your affection on things above? Hey, we're supposed to crucify the affections of the flesh. And then it says also there in verse 24, and the lust, okay? They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. James chapter 1 and verse 14 and 15 says, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own," hear those words, "of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished, bringeth forth death." That's what we're going to talk about this morning. How do we crucify the flesh? How do we crucify the affections and the lust, the things that this flesh desires? There's 2 ways we do this. First and foremost, it's by faith. Okay, faith in God. Listen, we can talk about all the tricks. We can talk about all the things that we can do to crucify the flesh. But without faith, according to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, it is impossible to please God. There is nothing that we do without faith that is going to please God. And you know what? You might get pretty good at getting rid of some of those affections. You might get pretty good at getting rid of some of those lusts. You might get halfway decent at getting this old flesh under control, but if you're not doing it in faith, you're not pleasing God. Think about that. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, already read verse 6, but Hebrews 11, 6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark." By faith, Abraham, down in verse 8, when he was called to go out into a place which he should, after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. By faith, he sojourned. On down through in verse 11, Sarah herself. Flip the page, verse 15. Go on down to verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. By faith, Isaac in verse 21. By faith, or 20, verse 21. By faith, Jacob, verse 22. By faith, Joseph, verse 23. By faith, Moses, verse 24. By faith, Moses again. Are you seeing the pattern here? It's by faith. All of these great men, the cloud of witnesses, the Bible says, that we have accomplished what they accomplished for God by faith. If we're going to crucify this flesh, if we're going to get this old flesh under control once and for all, it's got to be by faith in Jesus Christ. By faith in God and His promises. You know He has given you promises that will help you crucify the flesh. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 says, "Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." You know Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not on thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." God has given us everything that we need to live life pleasing to Him. Do you believe that? Do you believe that He's given you everything you need? Say, man, this flesh, I can't deal with it. I can't win the battle between the flesh and the Holy Spirit. You're right, you can't. But God can. But you got to trust Him, and you got to go to Him. You see, in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, he said, "According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness." He's given it to us, but we got to claim it, and we got to trust Him. Although, you read that whole entire passage in Hebrews chapter 11, and here's what you find. By faith, somebody did something. Not by faith, and then poof. By faith, they did. Think about the Israelites when they're getting ready to cross the river of Jordan. What did God say? Okay, take your way back, right? They had the Ark of the Covenant. The priests, the Levites, are supposed to go out ahead. And if you study that out, you find out they were a good mile or so ahead so that everybody could see what God was going to do. All right, you had a couple million people there. It's going to be hard if you're all pressed up right there. Okay, maybe the first 10,000 people would have seen the Levites go out there. But no, they were to stand back and to watch and see as the Ark of the Covenant, God's presence went forward. But those waters did not part until the sole of their foot touched the water. And folks, we're not going to crucify the flesh unless, first of all, we've got the faith in God, which is what the Israelites had. But then we got to do something about it. So it is by faith, but it is also by some function on our part. Let's talk about what the first one of those functions are. The first one, since we're talking about crucifying and mortifying and put to death, is starvation. Hey, we're going to have to starve some things. Turn over to the book of Romans again, chapter 13. If we're going to crucify the flesh, the affections, and the lust, it's time that we start starving the flesh, the affections, and the lust. Romans chapter 13 and verse 14. "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." Why is it that we set ourselves up to sin? We do, don't we? We set ourselves up for sin. Those affections and those lusts that the body craves after, we put it in front of us. We make provision for our flesh. Hey, we're supposed to be crucifying the flesh and putting it to death. But yet we'll feed it with the junk that's on television. All right, and we'll sit down not saying, okay, I'm going to sit down here and feed my mind with filthy stuff. But you know what? Just by turning the stupid thing on almost, we get it. Okay, and I'm not, look, I know that it's good sometimes to just sit down and not have to think. All right, but man, why do we feed ourselves so much? What about the other things? The music that we feed ourselves with. The conversations that we'll get in. Do you know this flesh loves to gossip? This flesh just loves to tear people apart. And we make provision for it a lot, don't we? When we talk about other people. Oh, did you see what they did? Man, they're not right with the Lord. Neither are you. Yeah. Yeah. make no provision for the flesh. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27. I like this. Pastor Dave talks about how Paul's his favorite character, I guess, for lack of a better term, in the Bible. Because Paul did such great things for the Lord, but he was so human. Just like us, right? In 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27, Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said this, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection." Did you get that? I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Now, I want you to think about this. How many of you have your body, your flesh, under subjection? Or how many of you is it the other way around? How many of you told yourself, "Self, I've got to go to bed at this time," and then went to bed because you knew it was the right thing for you to do? 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, or how many of you decided, "No, I'm going to stay up and watch just one more hour of television"? How many of you knew that you needed to get up at a certain time this morning and got up right when you were supposed to get up? How many of you eat only when it is right for you to eat? Okay, now we're getting there, all right? The sleep thing went over here, but I got you with the food. Hey, our body's got control of us more than we know. We do things because our body tells us to do it all the time. We eat because our body tells us. We stay up. We go to sleep. We do things because our body, we don't work out because our body doesn't like to work out. All right, I know these are all very, very physical in nature, but hey, that's what, you know what? Some of that is what Paul is talking about. Paul said he's got his body under subjection. He's not letting his body tell him what to do. And that's that flesh that has no good in it. We got to get it under subjection. We got to get it under control. But we're only going to do that by grabbing hold of those promises, having faith in God. But we got to do some starvation. It's time to start starving ourselves, our flesh, of the things that feed the flesh and only make it stronger. We got to put it to death. We do it by starvation. We do it by amputation. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. So there's some things that we've got to start cutting out. We got to start starving the flesh of the things that just feed it so that the stress is stronger. But listen, folks, there's some things in our lives that we just got to plain old cut off right now. There's some things in there, there's some things that we are doing. There are some thought processes that we've got going on that it is time to just cut off. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25 says, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor with his hands." Go on down. "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth." All right, these are a very, very short list of the things that we just need to stop right now. We gotta be honest. We gotta stop lying. We gotta stop talking about other people behind their backs. Amen. We gotta stop doing a lot of the things that we are doing and just amputate them. Cut them off, because it's the only way that we're gonna have success crucifying the flesh. You know, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." If we are going to truly crucify this body, we've got to start doing something else, and that is yielding ourselves to the Holy Spirit of God. Turn back to Romans chapter 6, where we kind of started out. Romans chapter 6, and in my Bible, I have the word yield in little boxes. As you start going through that chapter, you'll find that there is 5 times that the word yield or yielded is used. In verse 13, "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of righteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God." In verse 16, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey," what, the flesh or Jesus Christ, "his servants ye are to whom ye obey." Go down to verse 19. "I speak after this manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants of righteousness." Hey, crucifying the flesh means yielding ourselves to the Holy Spirit of God. That's how we live practically a Christian life, is by yielding ourselves. And I know people get, people get scared when they hear people talk about the Holy Spirit. But listen, it is the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. The Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit is very much God. Think about that. God dwelling in you. Wow, that's sobering. How much more should we reckon ourselves dead to sin when we get the idea that God Himself is dwelling within me? Right. And it's time for us to start yielding ourselves to Him. What are some ways that we're going to do that? Well, we got to do that by the renewing of our minds. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, you know that. Go ahead and turn over there just a couple of pages, already in chapter 6. Let's get there. If I try to quote it, I'll flub it up. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So, Brother Mike, how am I going to renew my mind? First of all, you got to get in His Word. Yep. You're not going to renew your mind of all the things that the flesh has put in there, all the things that the world, and understand, the world just caters to the flesh, that's all. Okay, I know we've got battles with the world, but what the world does is it caters to the flesh. All right? And so if we never get our flesh under control, we're never ever going to go out there and conquer the world. We got to get our flesh under control. We're going to renew our minds by His Word. 1 Timothy 4:13 says, "Till I come, give attendance to reading." Paul exhorting the young preacher, give attendance to reading. You need to be in this book reading. And then in 2 Timothy 2:15, he said, study. Don't just read it. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. We're going to do it by reading, but we got to meditate upon God's Word as well. Not just read it, meditate it, think about it. How often have you thought about what you read this week? Joshua 1:8, this word of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Have you experienced what it's like to go to bed meditating on God's Word? Meditating on the promises that He's given you? Promises of victory. Promises of that day when He comes back and returns and gets us out of this crazy world. Meditate on God's Word. Memorize God's Word. Boy, we get really excited about our kids when they're 5 and 6 years old and they come home and memorize. Honey, that is great. That is the most important thing that you can do, is memorize God's Word. When was the last time you memorized a verse? Talking to myself. When's the last time you memorized a verse? Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in thy heart, my heart, that I might not sin against thee. That I might crucify the flesh, right? That the flesh doesn't have control over me. Memorize God's word. Memorize His promises. And then we read God's word. We meditate it. We study upon it. We memorize it, but we've got to move upon it. James chapter 1 and verse 22. You know those guys that have all that intellectual knowledge, but just don't put it to good use? Things like 2 times 5 is 15. Man, the engineers that think. That's a story. James chapter 1 and verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. Well, we deceive ourselves day in and day out. How much of this book have I read through? How much? Not enough. I don't read it enough. How much have I memorized? Not enough. But still, even the little finite amount that I have done and that I know does nothing if I don't act upon it. You know, we can know everything that there is to know about crucifying the flesh. We can know that we need to have faith in God, because that's the only way that it's going to be accomplished. We can know that we've got to starve these things that feed the flesh. We can know that there's things in our lives, and God can identify those things for us, and we can know that we need to cut them off. But to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. I hope we'll take this morning. I hope we'll take God's word anytime the Holy Spirit shows us something, and not just Put it in the registry in our brain. Well, we had a revival this week. I hope you had revival in your heart this week. But I hope it lasts longer than this last week. I hope it continues on. I hope we don't just file it in our banks as, man, those were great meetings. Now I'm going to keep on doing the same old things I used to do. I'm going to keep living the same way that I used to live. Don't do that. Be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you so much for your word. Lord, I thank you for the promises that you've given us. Lord, it is all what Jesus Christ did for us, every single bit of it. Lord, I thank you that I don't have to rely upon myself crucifying this flesh day in and day out in order to see you in heaven. Lord, I thank you that Christ already took care of that, because I wouldn't be able to do it. Nobody would. Lord, I pray that if there's anybody here today that hasn't received Christ as their Savior, that hasn't realized that Christ did that for them when he died on the cross of Calvary and rose again, Lord, help them to get that settled this morning. And then those of us who are saved, Lord, help us to go out this week and to be able to live a victorious Christian life. Lord, I be with the next service, Lord. I pray for every aspect of it, that it would bring honor and glory to your name. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.